Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Everything seemed fine until the end when the guests started spraying money at the couple, a cultural tradition. Megan was in charge of collecting the cash, and somehow it went missing. She blamed the MC. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. You are in for a drama-filled episode, some conversation about boundaries, and so much more. There's always some kind of learning experience. And if you're not going to learn anything, at least you can be entertained. First things first, I want to read this week's review. This person says, became obsessed with your skits through Facebook. I'm sure like everyone else and love the drama. So I'm glad you have a podcast too. Such a great listen. Thank you for your kind review. As always, if you are enjoying the show, love listening, watching, wherever you're listening from, please leave me a review. It helps so many more people be able to find and listen to the podcast. And we recently found out we are number 8 under Leisure Podcasts on Apple. So that was a great thing to learn. Another reminder is that I have changed my social media handle. I'm going to keep repeating it just because there's always fakes out there and then people trying to take my old name. So my name now on social media is Hey Krista Innes. That's on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Hey Krista Innes. And then on Facebook, it's just Krista because they wouldn't let me say that. Take Krista Innes. But there is a blue check mark on both Facebook and Instagram. So make sure I have the blue check mark. You can check my link in bio as well if you're ever unsure it's me. I get people tagging me and sharing reported or stolen content all the time. And I'm like, that's not me. I'm sorry. So yeah, just to clear that up. Another fun announcement is that we have officially decided on the title for book number 2. So it's been a long time coming. I have had untitled for the book for a long time. And then I had a few ideas pop in my head. Actually, one idea was like, I was like, this is going to be the winner, but I want everyone to vote fair and square like they did last time. I love getting input from you guys because you are the buyers. You guys are the people that have been reading it, have been interested in the storyline. So I wanted to hear first and foremost what you guys thought should be the title. So I put out a poll to the email list. And then I did another one on Instagram. And guys, it was so close. It was so hard because the first poll I put out in just the email list, and it was within 2 tied, the top 2 tied. And then the third right below it was like 0.5 less. So I was like, guys, not really making it much easier. So then when I did a vote again, 40% picked the top 3. So the winner of the book, the next in the Ferris and Sloan series, will be called Drama Ever After, A Ferris and Sloan Story. And at first, it wasn't my immediate favorite. Of course, I loved it because it was one of the options. But now it's like really growing on me because it really does fit the storyline. If we are following Ferris and Sloan, Drama Ever After, you got to have the drama in it because it just kind of fits. So here comes the drama, Drama Ever After for book number 2. And then by the time this episode comes out, I will have submitted it to my developmental editor and then proofreader and final editor as well. Typically, I read the book like 5 or 6 times all the way through before actually putting it out for purchase because there's just so many things you can miss, or I'll read things and be like, oh, I don't really like how that sounds. But let me tell you, this book, book number 2, has way more detail than was ever in the skit. There's many new scenes, many added detail that I didn't have before. And as I'm like reading it through again, because basically what I do is like the skit that I put out there transcribe what I've already written and said, and then I add in every detail. I move scenes around. I add a new scenes. I take scenes out. Because as I go through it again, I'm like, oh, this didn't really make sense. Was I really tired when I wrote that part? Or I didn't really want that to happen with these characters. I wanted this to happen instead. And let me tell you guys, this is a little more PG-13. We had a little more, I don't know, without saying it, there's a lot more romance, a lot more intimacy between some of the characters. I don't want to spoil anything, but we took it to a whole new level. And I'm so, so, so excited for you guys to read. If you've not gotten your hands on book number one, now is the time to catch up before book number two comes out. I don't have dates yet. There's still some things that I'm kind of waiting for more detail on. So we shall see. We shall see as an indie author if I'm going to still publish it myself or if it's going to go a different route. We will see. But get your hands on Here Comes the Drama, Ferris and Sloan Story, so you can catch up on all the drama. A lot of people are asking if I'm going to do season four of Ferris and Sloan as a skit, because I just did season three as a skit earlier this year. And I've been commenting back to people and I've talked about it a couple of times, but I have no plan on doing a skit. And here's why. As I've written the book, as I just kind of said, I've changed things, I've added characters, I've added scenes, and it just doesn't perfectly line up with the original story. Of course, it follows the same storyline, but some things are changed. If I were to just keep going with the skit, then I have to make sure it matches just the skit. And if some people didn't read the book yet, they might miss certain things that happened in the book. So then essentially I'm writing two different versions of the story. So far, what my goal is to write books. And so I know this is kind of getting into a complicated discussion, but there's going to be a lot more coming in the form of books because I love this storyline. I love these characters, but it's getting a little more complicated to just do acting out, if that all makes sense. I know that was a lot. So as of right now, I do not have plans on doing a season four of Ferris and Sloan just because it's getting so complicated with matching the storylines between the books and the skit. Because I can't, because not everyone's read the story of the books. And so that's a lot for my brain to be like, wait, did this happen in the book or the skit? So from now on, it's what happened in the book. And then I promise there'll be more fun things to share, more fun things to come out about this storyline. Hopefully that wasn't too confusing. In my head, it all made sense, but sometimes, you know, I say things out there and it's just not working. Okay, before we get into this week's wedding dilemmas, I got some good ones, guys. I am seeing so many real life bridesmaid drama stories in my feeds. People are tagging me in. And the most recent one was a girl talking about ending an 18-year friendship. They are both bridesmaids for a mutual friend, and they've been friends since like first grade or something. And I'm not going to re-talk about what happens in the story. It's basically like a disagreement comes to a head, right? And all the people in the comments are like, this is over a gift. You would lose a friendship over a gift. And here's what I notice in these friendship dilemmas or bridesmaid dilemmas. It's not coming to a head because of something small. It's over the years, little things have happened. And then you're talking about a wedding where everyone's supposed to support this one person and certain personalities come out, right? You know, some people are better at planning. Some people maybe aren't great at commitment to things. Maybe others don't like social events. So like personalities all come together in one room. And if one kind of outshines the other, or they have to like work together on a group project, essentially, right? That's where the true colors come out, and that's where clashing can happen. So I think there's a bigger picture issue. It's not necessarily like, oh, wow, these girls are so petty because they got in a fight over a gift that they're giving the bride. It's that little things, I think, built up over the years, and these high, intense, stressful moments just bring out the worst in some people. So I don't know. You guys can let me know what you think, but I feel like there's so much more nuance and discussion to be had about it. It's the same when it comes to like funerals. When somebody passes away in a family dynamic, it can bring out a lot of interesting personalities and disagreements. People fight over things because it's a high stress moment. So everyone reacts to these moments in different ways. Not saying what's good or bad. I'm just saying like people just have to come together for this group project they didn't necessarily want to do. And it doesn't always turn out for the best. So yeah, I just keep seeing all these stories about like friendships ending with, you know, weddings. And it's unfortunate, but sometimes Like I talked about in my video not that long ago, is sometimes friendships just have to end. They're for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. So just remember that. Okay. I know that was kind of a long tangent. All right. We are getting into this week's wedding dilemmas. Here's how it works if you're a first-time listener. People send me their current or past wedding dilemmas that they want me to address. So it's not necessarily a long story. It's just something that they're either dealing with or just they're still kind of stewing over that happened to them. And we're going to kind of talk about maybe what we should do in the future or just give my opinion, unprofessional opinion, of course, what I would do in the situation. So take what makes sense and leave the rest. If you want to submit one of your own, please send me a DM on social media. Instagram is probably the best place. Otherwise, you can email me hello@kristaennis.com with the subject line wedding dilemma or wedding 911. Okay, this first one was sent to me recently. Here we go. Drama submission. Okay, this is currently happening in my life right now. After 4 years of a loving relationship, I just got engaged in Norway. I am 25 and he is 26. And it's a very special place to us because my fiance's family is there and his cousin even recorded our engagement. That sounds like a beautiful engagement. We called our families and friends the next day so we could enjoy our little bubble of engagement bliss. My fiance's family is so supportive and kind, asking about wedding dates and welcoming me to the family with open arms. My family, on the other hand, is a completely different story. My fiance is currently a banker and working his way up in the industry of finance and sales, while I am a sales manager at a local company. My mom doesn't believe that he makes enough money to support us. Therefore, I should hold off on the wedding to light a fire under him and make him work harder until he makes a lot more. She has always been extremely controlling and narcissistic and ruins every big moment in my life. She has gone out of her way to scream on the phone, send a million cruel texts, and even got my dad involved, who has always stayed out of it. This has been extremely stressful, but have been encouraged by my fiance and friends to go to therapy to learn ways to endure this before I have to cut her off entirely. Please add or do whatever you want with this story. I'd love to read comments from people who have gone through the same thing or maybe provide some encouragement while I take steps to enjoy this part of my life in big moments. Okay, so first and foremost, I just want to say congratulations. I mean, this is such an exciting time in your life. And it sounds like you are surrounding yourself with people that are truly supporting you. And it sounds like you know that your relationship with your mom isn't the greatest, like the controlling part of it, trying to take away from big moments in your life. So there's power in that. There's power in knowing where your support lies and where to not go when you need that support, right? And I think there's a certain generational thing where they control is seen as love, right? So, you know, if you call her out on it, she might be like, well, it's because I love you and I want you to have a good life. And maybe she has her own resentment from maybe she struggled paying bills or her husband or her parents struggled paying bills. And so she doesn't want that same life for you. However, things are different. It's not fully relying on him to now support the family. It sounds like you guys are both working good jobs. You're both working your way up. I mean, you're still 25, 26. There's so much time to grow and learn together, right? And I know you're not asking me for financial advice. I'm not giving that. But I'm just reassuring you that you guys, it sounds like you're on the right path. No one is a millionaire or super successful overnight. You guys are still so young. And what I'm reading in here too is she just sees his job and is like, he doesn't make enough money. It's not like she even knows the amount of money he makes. So she's either trying to put her own fears about money and stresses onto you, or she's just looking for reasons for you guys to not get married, which obviously you're not going to not get married. So I'm curious. I feel like a lot of people probably have dealt with something similar from their parents putting on some kind of stressor of or fear of financial situations. But we also live in a way different time than our parents grew up. It's better in a lot of ways, but it's harder in a lot of ways. I mean, it was so much easier for people to buy houses right out of college. Houses were way more affordable, but also it's way more common to have a two-income household. So the fact that you guys are both working and both supporting this life together, it's not like he has to fully support both of you. It's way different. And so I think you're on the right track by knowing who you can lean to for support and just keep going that way. Therapy is so important too. It sounds like you have had to deal with this for a long time. So I just encourage you to be very limited with what you share with her, especially if you are wanting to keep this positive and feel good vibes going when it comes to planning your own wedding. So lean into that and absolutely go to therapy, because it's going to just help you and your partner just feel more at peace when you have to make, if you have to, or you choose to make this cut from your life. All right. I hope that was good advice. I wasn't trying to give financial advice. It sounds like your current situation is with that. Okay. This last one here says, our best man insists he doesn't need to rehearse his speech. He gets drunk and will tell inappropriate stories from college. And I have a fear he'll mention ex-girlfriends and tell inside jokes that no one else will understand. Should I or the groom confront him before the wedding, or just laugh it off and just accept it? Well, okay, I'm stressed for you, because if I would be feeling like these kind of fears ahead of time, I think I would want my partner to talk to them, because that's their person on their side. I don't think you personally, as the bride, should do anything about it. I think this would be your fiance to talk to him. And if you have more than one gut feeling, or maybe talking to your partner, if he's even like, I don't know if he can give a good speech. I don't know. He keeps talking about like all these shots we're going to do before. Maybe you just don't have him give a speech, or have someone ready to like cut the mic and be like, thank you. If he needs like a good talking to of what he cannot talk about, then give that to him. If he doesn't seem like he's going to follow those rules, I hate to call them rules because it seems like you're being like strict or something. But if he seems like he's not going to follow that, then maybe it's time just to be like, you know what? We actually don't need you to give a speech. You need to be very selective with who gives speeches and who you want to have kind words about you. Essentially, anyone that's in your wedding party should be supporting both you and your partner, right? It's not like, well, that's his best friend, so he only has to support him. No, they're supporting your marriage, right? And so if he has nothing nice to say about you and all he's going to do is say inappropriate stories and talk about ex-girlfriends and talk about things he shouldn't be saying in a room full of 100 plus people, then maybe this is not his position. So talk amongst each other, and then I think your partner should be the one to talk to him. All right, guys, that's all we have for Wedding 911, Wedding Dilemmas this week. As always, send me some messages on Instagram, or you can email me at hello@kristainnis.com. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to kristainnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. All right, before we get to the story, of course, we got some red flag, green flag wedding edition. So here we go. My maid of honor posts a long emotional TikTok about her best friend's wedding journey, but the video is mostly clips of herself. I mean, social media is to showcase you, right? Like your own page. She can also do that as a way of like, I don't want to like overshare their wedding day if they want to share it. So I wouldn't say it's a red flag. I wouldn't say, I don't know, it's kind of like in the middle, because she might want to be show like her perspective as a maid of honor. So I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a red flag. Bride vents that wedding planning is stressful. Maid of honor responds, you're not the only one stressed. This wedding is taking over my life too. That's kind of a red flag. So communication, I think, is really important, especially as a maid of honor. As a maid of honor, you take on a lot of tasks, and it's hard to tell the bride if you are stressed. I remember checking in with my maid of honor all the time, being like, hey, it's okay. Like, I can take this over. You don't have to do this. Let's have someone else do it. And she was great. She was awesome. My friend, she's so kind that she would never tell me if like it was too much. I would be like, you're not doing this. Like, let's have someone else help you. So I don't think this is a red flag per se. I think there's a better way to say it. I think communication is good, especially if it's a bride that's just like not in tune with what's going on, and they're just consistently throwing stuff at you and like, oh my God, this is so stressful. And you're like, whoa, you're putting a lot on me too. Let's slow down a little bit. Okay. Bride's ex is invited by the groom's side. The maid of honor tells him where the after party is because it's no big deal. Why is the bride's ex invited by the groom's side? And that's a red flag all around. And the maid of honor tells him where the after party is. Yeah, we're not going to invite exes. Okay, photographer goes silent a week before the wedding and shows up late the day of, but photos end up being stunning. That's a red flag. That is a red flag. So it's great that it ended up great, right? But we're not only looking at the end of it. Like, think of how stressful that is before, knowing you don't hear from your photographer. So maybe the bride's thinking about hiring someone last minute because she's not hearing from the photographer the week before. And then a couple weeks ago, I talked about the story where the makeup artist came late and then she ended up offering a partial refund. Even though she did her job, so fine, get paid for what you did, you're still causing stress and you're causing a timeline to be pushed back. Photographer, you can't really make that up. So if you're a late photographer, think of those moments that you missed. Maybe no one else is there taking photos. So I'm going to say that's a red flag. Florist swaps half the flowers for what they thought would look better in photos without asking. Red flag. That's easy. Bride books a specific makeup artist months in advance. The morning of, a different artist shows up claiming to be just as good. Red flag. That sounds to me like the makeup artist had a replacement and maybe didn't communicate that to you. Videographer refuses to capture certain trendy TikTok shots because it doesn't fit their artistic style. A red flag, but typically that's talked about ahead of time. Like, we have a videographer, but I would not have told them to like switch up their routine because you kind of have to trust their process. That's usually in the contract ahead of time. You can also hire content creators for weddings now, and they're going to be more in tune with the TikTok shots and trending audio as opposed to a videographer. That's typically not their thing. All right, last one. The cake artist forgot to deliver the top tier because they didn't realize it was part of the package. That's a red flag. You know, you can make it up for it if they have someone else at the office and can bring it in. But yeah, that's going to be a red flag if they forgot a big part of your cake. All right, are you guys ready for this week's blind reaction wedding story submission? I was a bridesmaid for my best friend's wedding a couple of years ago and had to deal with one of the wildest maid of honors I've ever encountered. Woo! Okay, here we go. My friend Hannah, names have been changed, got engaged to another mutual friend, Evan. We had all worked together at some point, and I actually knew Evan from a previous job. From the moment they met, I knew they'd end up together. After 6 years of dating, he finally proposed and the wedding planning began. At the time, I was the general manager of a restaurant and event venue, so Hannah asked if I could join her when she toured a few places. One venue she wanted to see was near my work, about an hour from where we lived, but only 15 minutes away from the maid of honor, Megan, who was one of Hannah's childhood friends. We decided to meet at Megan's house and drive together. I arrived a little early and called Megan to let her know I was outside. No answer. I even knocked. Still nothing. Hannah was running behind, so I waited in my car. When she finally arrived, that's when Megan suddenly came out to greet us, meaning she definitely knew I was there waiting the whole time. Weird. Once we all got in the car, Megan told us she invited a friend, someone the bride didn't even know to tag along. Okay, we're talking red flags, green flags. That's a red flag. That's weird to me. Like, the bride invited you as the maid of honor to go do something. You don't just bring a random friend. Hannah and I just went along with it. During the tour, Megan and her friend were giggling, cracking jokes, and barely paying attention. I stayed polite, but when they decided to go out afterward, I headed home. The whole vibe was off. Months later, Hannah scheduled her bridal gown appointment. The maid of honor, the bride's mom, another bridesmaid, and I went along. When I got to the bridal shop, Megan was already there, but she completely ignored me. What? Like, why? I decided to wait outside until everyone else arrived. What does this Megan girl have against Hannah? That's weird to me. Once we were all inside, it was clear Megan was determined to steal the spotlight again. She made rude comments about nearly every dress, laughing at all the styles and rolling her eyes. Who is this person? Why are they friends? And why is she a part of the wedding? I have so many questions. It wasn't just me who noticed. Another bridesmaid later said she felt bad for Hannah because Megan's energy ruined what should have been a special day. Then came the bachelorette party. Megan not only invited a random friend again, what? But they also got into a huge fight on the first night. The random friend did? Mind you, I was 6 months pregnant at the time, in the middle of a New Orleans summer, just trying to survive the heat. Since I couldn't drink, I went with the flow and tried to keep things calm. But Megan got super possessive of Hannah, constantly reminding everyone that she knew her best and acting territorial, even though half the bridesmaids were Hannah's cousins. That is so weird, especially because she's not being very nice with Hannah. So does she think being rude is like a way of showing you know someone better? By day three, Hannah's birthday, things boiled over. Megan followed her into the bathroom during dinner and told her she was a horrible friend and that everyone secretly hated the trip. Who is this girl? Oh my gosh, I feel terrible for Hannah. When we found Hannah crying, we were furious. None of it was true, and it was obvious Megan was trying to isolate her. This sounds like an abusive friendship. We reassured Hannah that she hadn't done anything wrong, but the rest of us basically ignored Megan after that. I even offered to ride in her car for the drive home so others wouldn't have to. That is taking one for the team. Sitting in a car with someone that is like awful, that sounds like hell. The entire trip, she complained about feeling unappreciated. What did she do that she should be appreciated for? Fast forward a few months, Megan volunteered to host a bridal shower. The problem? She lived out of state and insisted everyone drive to her. Against our better judgment, we agreed. Why? I mean, it's so easy when you read these stories and like later on, this already happened to this person. I'm seeing all these red flags and they're so bright and they're waving so quickly that I'm like, why are they already like so willing to do whatever this Megan girl wants? About a month before the shower, she started messaging everyone, the bridesmaids, the groom, even Hannah's family, asking for money. She wanted bottle service, wild decorations, and expensive extras she couldn't afford herself. So here's my thing. If I'm going to host a party, I know I'm going to take the brunt of it. If I'm hosting it with people, then sure, we can split some or they can take some of it off of me. But you don't ever offer to host without knowing you're going to pay for some of it. And then even so, if you do have help, you should be keeping it, like know what that budget is and keep it smaller. We don't need bottle service at a shower. That sounds like she's doing something more for her. Hannah called me in tears, asking for help. I stepped in as co-host and moved the shower to my new workplace, which was much closer for everyone. I told Hannah I'd cover the part of the cost as my wedding gift, but I wasn't about to hand Megan money to mismanage. That didn't sit well with her. Okay, that didn't sit well with Megan, I'm guessing. When I showed up with the centerpieces, pretty mason jars filled with flowers, she swapped them out for fake ones and ruined the look just to annoy me. Then she started gossiping about me to the venue staff. That crossed the line, especially since it was my workplace. This is so weird. I blocked her number and decided I was done. Afterward, she told the bride that I'd been sketchy with money and didn't pay my share. Thankfully, I had all the receipts and Hannah didn't believe a word of it. Okay. I thought she was saying Hannah, the bride, didn't believe that she didn't pay. Okay, yeah. So she believed her because she had all the receipts. Why would Megan, like, this girl is like a serious liar. I don't even know how to describe this person. I've never met someone like this before in my life. Hannah had two ceremonies. Her first was a Nigerian wedding. I stayed out of that one since I was 8 months pregnant and wanted to avoid drama. Okay, so I have questions. You stayed out of it to avoid drama because you were pregnant or because you just didn't want to be near Megan? I have questions. Okay. Everything seemed fine until the end when the guests started spraying money at the couple, a cultural tradition. Megan was in charge of collecting the cash and somehow it went missing. She blamed the MC. She has been scheming to get money from them since the beginning. Oh my gosh. Also, again, I'm watching from the outside, of course, so this is not judgment on the bride or like shaming someone for doing this. But I'm like, why are we allowing this girl, Megan, who's been so sketchy since the beginning, to collect the money? She's been rude. She's been making fun of them. She's been bringing weird friends to every little event and then getting in fights with Hannah. Like, why are we allowing her to be a part of this? The following weekend was the second ceremony in a different state. The night before the wedding, we had the rehearsal dinner and all stayed together in an Airbnb. Megan left early to stay with her boyfriend and didn't return until 11 a.m. Wait, we're talking the day before the wedding. The day of the wedding. She didn't get there until 11 a.m. 4 hours late for hair and makeup. What? Oh my gosh. Okay, I read that at first that she like stayed up all night and I was like, I would be dead tired. But I think they just like stayed together and then she just slept in. Hannah was furious, but decided to not confront her on the big day. The ceremony went beautifully until Megan's speech. Again, why are we giving a microphone to someone that obviously hates you? Literally, this woman hates you. I would not be giving her a microphone because if she's going to say those kinds of things behind your back, she's going to say, like, with a microphone and attention on her, you know, she's going to say whatever she wants, right? Before, she had pulled me aside to ask if it was okay to joke that people confused us because we look alike. I said, sure, thinking it was harmless. But her speech started with, "Hi, I'm Christine. Oh, wait, I'm Megan. Sorry, I know people mix us up, but the difference is one of us is 8 months pregnant. Guess I need to hit the gym." Then she launched into a bizarre monologue about how the groom stole Hannah from her. What? And threw in a bunch of backhanded compliments. The entire room looked horrified. The bride and groom were so wrapped up in each other, they barely noticed until Megan snapped mid-speech and told them to stop talking. Okay. All right. So based on her speech, she's jealous that Hannah is getting married. She's jealous that she now has a groom, a fiance. They're getting married and they're happy. Isn't it wild how some people, it's the misery loves company, right? They're only happy for you when you guys are miserable together. You're at the same level. If once you're happy, they're not going to be happy anymore and they're going to pull you down. I have known so many people like that in my own life, and they are vampires. They are energy vampires, right? They're soul suckers. You need to cut those people, snip them as quickly as possible because they will never be happy for your achievements. Ooh, that hit me in the gut. People like that, if you ever have a feeling about somebody, tell them something you're excited about and see how they react. Tell them something that happened to you that you're proud for and see what they do. That will tell you everything you need to know, even if it's just something small. If they don't act like it's anything to be excited for, if they put you down, if they make fun of you, chances are they will do that for anything that you consider an accomplishment or an achievement. Wow, that was the last anyone heard from her. Neither Hannah nor Megan has reached out since. Okay, wait, I don't know if she means neither Hannah or Megan reached out to her, Christine, or each other. Honestly, it was one of the most chaotic wedding experiences I've ever survived. Guys, it's so, again, this is not to shame because I was not in this situation. You start noticing these first signs of red flags in a friend, especially in a big event where they should maybe be, you know, they should be celebrating you. Let's just snip it. It's okay to communicate and say, hey, you know what? I don't think this is the best position for you. I think we're so scared of what they will do next. I think we're so scared of backlash. I think we're scared of looking like the mean person. I know, I've been there, where you hold on to something because you don't want to look like the mean person. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what happens, they're going to tell their side. It doesn't matter if you were the quote unquote good person in the situation, they will tell their side of it. And she could easily be like, you know, we were best friends. We hung out all the time. And the second she got engaged, she stopped calling me. And maybe, yeah, to an extent, you know, you now have your partner, you live together, whatever that looks like. Maybe you didn't call her as much, but she still was important to you. And some people realize, like, we go through these life stages where maybe we can't see each other as much, but you're still important. And some people aren't going to be able to take that. They're not going to be able to take the back seat in your life as much. They want to be up right up there with you. And it's not saying, like, I don't know. It's not saying that, like, she's a bad, okay, this person is a bad person. She probably stole from the wedding. I don't know. But it's hard. It's hard in these moments to react to these stories because it's so easy for me to say, like, what I would do, right? But if you have a history with someone and you've been friends with them for a long time, it's a lot harder to just cut someone out. So I get it. It's very challenging. And I, like I mentioned earlier, I talked about friendship breakups and how they can a lot of times be harder than romantic breakups. And so we never want to be the ones to be like, okay, I'm done with that person. But when you look back after a friendship breakup years later and you notice all the positives that maybe would not have happened in your life if you were still friends with that person, it's going to make you feel so much better. And it's hard. Some people just can't let you shine. Some people cannot be the supportive friend. They want to be at the bottom of the barrel with you. They want you to follow them at all times. And so when you put them in a position where they have to support you, it's not going to work out well. But that's where true colors come out. So we can be grateful for that moment and realize that it needed to happen. Oh gosh, that was a wild story. We haven't had a maid of honor one like that in a while. That might need to be a skit. Now we got some confessions. Let's end with some confessions. Brother of the groom made potty jokes and just bashed on him the whole time. I'm guessing during the speech. Very cringy. Yeah, let's not do that. There should be a list of what to do and what not to do. And it also depends on your relationship with the person. Like I talked about before, like if you're really close with them and they make jokes at the wedding, I think it's fine. I think it should be funny. My favorite wedding speeches are ones that are funny, but if they're done in a good way, like if they're not funny, like if they're making fun of them or they're like putting them down or it's like backhanded compliments, then maybe don't do that. I remember being at a wedding once and the maid of honor made a comment in her speech about how the bride always wanted to marry for money. And she did. There was like some laughter and then there was awkward silence. And I just like looked around seeing what everyone else was doing because that's awkward. And not to say too much, but the groom was not a nice person. He was not great at all in the slightest. That's a story for another time, but he's not a good person. And she was so sweet, but I was just like, ooh. This adds up. This adds up because she did not marry for a nice man. Okay. My sister turned it into her political views and how the venue was wrong. Okay. These are all about speeches. No, we're not going to put politics in speeches. Please and thank you. My dad said she was homeschooled and listed all of my accomplishments. That's all. That's like awkward because I think that's when also it's like when people just don't know what to say, they're going to say your accomplishments because they're like, oh, I'm just going to talk all about her. And it's great. You know, you want to do a little bit of that, but you also want to tie it all together of like the reasons why people are here celebrating you. Okay. This one says, I saw a mother of the bride talk about another daughter's wedding coming up later in the year. So the mom made a speech and just was talking about someone else's wedding. Okay. That's weird. Okay, the best man didn't plan one, and all he said was, I ditto what the maid of honor said. Cheers. Oh, no, unless that was the drunk groomsman that we knew he was going to suck or say something inappropriate, and you're like, okay, good, thank God he didn't say anything. That's terrible. That shows you can't even make some effort writing like a two-minute speech. Like, you can't think of anything nice to say. You just have to copy the maid of honor. No, come on. Give a little more effort than that. All right, guys. Well, that's all I have this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you loved this episode, do me a huge favor and share it with a friend. Take a screenshot, share it to your stories, and tag me, of course. I love seeing it. I love seeing where you're tuning in from, what you're doing while you're listening, whether it's on a commute or working or just relaxing at night. And don't forget to share the podcast by leaving a quick review. It's the best way to get more people to hear about the show. We do new episodes every single Thursday. And so I can't wait to share another one with you guys next week. If you have any suggestions, stories, or wedding dilemmas you want me to cover, please submit them at the link in the show notes, or you can email me hello@kristainnis.com. I'm always looking for more crazy stories, and I would love to feature yours in an episode soon. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye now. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.